This is the Urban Legends Podcast. I am your host, BM. In this episode, we will travel 88 kilometers away from Nairobi to Naivasha, where we meet Kamau Ngige, popularly known as Kama, aka Githingithia, of the legendary Kalamashaka crew.
He's in the Urban Legends for real.
Naju Sabu?
Yeah, yo, my name, jina langu mneto Kama, Kamani wa Ngige. Ngige is my dad, and amini zali wa Lari, unajua, sometime in 1978. And Lari,
when Robert
is paralyzed, because that was the first place I saw, and still beautiful.
It was a seismic event that changed the cultural landscape.
My dad, I think, Akafuka Kazi, when I was very little.
To rap in Sheng,
and he came from a nice house, Grashak, somewhere in Garariga.
Using hip hop to tell their life experiences coming from
that. It was shocking, I think, to my parents nowadays when I look at it. But for me, I was young, so I just adjusted. I didn't notice we were poor or rich or whatever. But later on, domestic violences and things, my mom
that has now become synonymous with the city's dump site.
Separated.
We find out who Kama was.
We were raised by a mom to a point. When I say to a point, is all the way to class 3, to class 2. Then my dad was living in Nairobi. And at one point, we followed my dad in Nairobi, me and my brother. And we left my sisters and everybody.
So how many siblings, may I ask? Like, I know, like,
nine of us.
Okay.
But right now we are 8 because my brother died. But we are 9 of us. My mom, same dad, same mom.
Okay.
And so you ended up in Nairobi. I'm trying to cut this story, it's a long story. Yeah, but Dandora, now we are straight from Mushago, you know? But we are young, so you don't give a fuck. You know, it's actually strange. I formed Sheng Rap, but when I came to Nairobi, I was laughed at.
Yeah.
you know, but later on, tuka adopt to maisha Nairobi.
Okay.
And then through that maisha Nairobi, I discovered different things like taekwondo. The first thing I joined was taekwondo when I was like 12. Because when I was like 12 or 13 there, all the kids that were my friends, that I had made friends, were told not to play with me. The whole of neighborhood was warned not to be playing with me because I challenged the churches that kids used to go to. We all kids, but kids would come with crucifix and they'll tell me, "Oh, this is God, that's why he's lighting in the dark." Laughing at me, I'll be like, "No, man, so that's some bullshit."
Wow.
So the parents kind of, I was isolated. But through my isolation, I found taekwondo. I went to a gym and we are peeping on the window. Then the coach said, "Hey, you want to come in and join?" And me, I joined the taekwondo. Very young.
Movie back in the 80s, so that registered in my head like there's something else being done somewhere.
Yeah.
Say Ned Lover.
Okay.
That was like an MTV thing.
The late 80s and early 90s were an interesting time for those coming of age in Kenya.
watching
political clamor for multi-party democracy, which is mostly epitomized by Saba Saba Day protests that happened on the 7th of July, 1992.
But also some shit is happening abroad.
Because
The same 92 year is when Rodney King in L.A.
It was at this time that brutalized.
So I'm watching CNN and L.A. is burning,
what?
And Nairobi is burning.
What was happening in the world?
Nairobi is Saba Saba. So to me,
CNN,
I could say that I could tell these stories at the same. When I found hip hop, he had like the red, black, and the green, and Errol J used to be Latifah.
Yeah,
you know, people used to
Afrocentricity.
Yeah, you know, so reggae in the early 90s, this was, and hip hop was very together. You know, because before hip hop, America was a facade, like a dream, like a stupid ass dream that dads used to tell us. No, America is this shit, and you know. And but hip hop
during this period that showed us a different parallels between what was happening in Kenya.
Fucked up America.
Like Los
kids
Angeles
are getting shot. Fucked up New Jersey. Fucked up Compton. And I'm looking at Compton or New Jersey. I'm like, damn, in Dandora.
Things took a turn for the worse.
But at this point, like,
that found up
in a moment in history, when you talk about, especially when you talk about post 92, 93, and what happens in Dando, in just in a particular neighborhood.
So I met these two cats, Johnny and Roba, we become friends. But they are rapping together. I'm rapping by myself. And later on, we combine to create a crew. And the crew was called 3D Crew. No, like 3 Dandora Crew or some stuff like the 3 Dimension Crew, you know? Then we started rapping in Shen. Because before that, everybody was rapping in English. And we actually found the people who were actually big than us there was Abbas and his brother. You know, when we got into rapping in F2.
It was not even Jerry Dubis at that time.
Jerry Dubis is Abbas.
Mm-hmm.
Actually went to high school together, to primary. We were in the same. He was in one class higher than me. You know, in Dandora Primary. And actually, Abbas, people don't know, but he was actually the top student in the whole of Dandora. And then we found ourselves in F2. Found Abbas there. They already established them. They could rap. Those guys, we are actually trying. We are choking. You know. Yeah, but later on we started rapping in Sheng, and no one was rapping in Sheng, and we took over the clubs. So nobody could battle us.
I think
from there on,
Sheng.
Okay, growing up, we used to have something called a Monto. If we spoke Sheng or mother tongue, you are given a bone, and if you stay with that bone for the whole class, you are whooped. So the hood was never to, you could never speak English. Ungeongea English ukiwa mtaani, East London, anywhere. Kangware, anywhere. Kangware, any.
The breakout hit came in 1997 with Tafsiri Hii, which literally means translate this. Here they were asking their listeners to translate their Sheng lyrics, but also to translate the experiences told by those lyrics in life.
Sikiza kwa
siri, wewe unastahili kunipa nafasi nitumie Swahili. Their debut album ni Wakati, This Is The Time, followed a year later. The album's title track sampled Martin Luther King, Speaking of the Mau Mau, and its lyrics called the African youth to realize that it was time to make change. There was a revolutionary fire burning in the young MCs that tied them to a larger Pan-African history, and it was in a language of the urban youth.
Once you listen, anybody listen, then Africa will be free. That's my message. I'm not just talking, I'm not telling you to listen to some bullshit. I'm telling you to listen so you can be free.
The Mau Mau were revolutionaries. They were the ones who made the word Uhuru. They were the ones who brought it to the fore. The Mau Mau, they were revolutionaries.
Wawa ni wakati, na kama we hujui ni wakati. Woka manda ni ya zangu pati pati. Wona ndugu zangu kijidha round yo sitaki. Haki, nyuma tusibaki, kibia shule. Ujue kuhusu wakina samori tube. Meneni, hawa kufanya na yo kazi ya bure ni mashujaa. Wajeni kuzu batu endesa mbamba. Na wanaojifanya kukuwe upe. Mtoke kwenye matrachi ni kanata. Super power.
Anytime I hear people say, these kids are young, that's why they don't have content. I'm like, what the hell? Can't Rio had content when you were 14? Excuses. Motherfuckers are doing some stupid shit, like
that. They are
young. They are young. What do you mean?
In speaking to Kama, I ask what he makes of the current moment, culturally and politically, and his answer is that we must listen. Listen to each other, listen to the music that came before that still tells us it is still the time. It is always the time for change. He says that being young isn't an excuse for not making music that uplifts society. We are the change we want to see in the world. And now, like always, is the time.
Hosted by the Black Panthers. Actually, this is the place the movie Idi Amin was done.